It's in you. You possess the power. Just go hard.
I need some motivation.
Motivation.
Every day I try a little harder, but my dedication. Keep my head way, way above the water. Crowding myself when I yell at the wall. Begging to run, but I needed to crawl. I see the finish line up ahead. Trying to get traction from all of this tread. I am a king.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Welcome back to the podcast that helps you be the leader. If you guys are new, I'm Jeremiah Sullivan. Great to have you on here. We've been getting more and more newer people jumping on the podcast. And I know that's true because I've been talking to you guys on my social media, specifically in my Instagram DM. And, you know, when you guys find out that I got a show, you tell me you're pretty excited to go listen to it. So I just want to welcome all of you new guys that I've talked to. For those of you that I haven't talked to yet, welcome to you guys as well. This is the show that's going to help you become that leader that's inside of you. You know, the leader that you would follow. It's a show that I've created to help rise you up, help you achieve success in your personal life, your professional life. And I really just wanted to create something that had a blend of personal development, leadership, and mindset strategies that could elevate your thinking and your results in your life. Okay, and so that's what this is. On every single one of these shows, we're going to break down like strategies and tactics, you know. We're going to break down philosophies that could help you potentially win and also very tangible tactical things that I know can help you win. It's not just me on this show. I am joined by my co-host, which is my wife, my lovely wife, Charisse.
Hey, everybody. I'm back.
Nice intro. Yeah, she's going to jump in and, you know, between the two of us, what we do here is we like to share a little bit about our personal lives, kind of where we're at as two entrepreneurs living together, married together, been together for over 16 years, met in Iraq, working together and conquering this life together. So we're going to share our insights on the journey so far. And like I said, the overall goal here is to help build you into that leader that's inside of you and help you accomplish your mission. And not just you, your entire team. So if you have a family, your friends, your coworkers, your company, it's designed to raise all of you guys up. I want to ask this in advance, okay? If you guys enjoy this show, do two things. First thing, share it with a friend. I want to grow this organically. I don't want to pump money into this to promote it. And I want to advertise organically. And this is what I mean by that, is there is a fast path to growth with the show. I could throw a bunch of money behind it, amplify it, whatever, and get in front of people. But I feel like that's a shortcut. And what I really want to do is I want to elevate this podcast to such a level that you guys love it so much that you feel obligated to give it to a friend. So that's what I ask, is that if it's worthy and it's, you think it's good, you laugh, you learn, do me a solid, return the favor, and just share it to somebody. And that would be a great way of helping us accomplish our mission of building high quality leaders in the world. Okay. Oh, the second thing that you can do is leave a review on iTunes. I haven't asked you guys to leave a review in a while, but go on to the podcast, whatever platform you're listening to it on, and go leave a review. Dang, I'm having a hard time with some words today.
Yeah, you're doing all right. You're
Am I doing
there.
All right?
Yeah, you're smoothing out.
All right, it's been a hell of a week. It's been a wild week. I'll just be completely honest with everybody. I have a little bit of brain fog because I've been going so hard. Charisse, you watched the whole thing happen.
Yeah, it was interesting to watch. I'll say that.
Yeah. And you had a hell of a week too. So we'll get into that as well. But guys, for today's show, that you're going to want to listen to this one, because the main thing that we wanted to talk about today and help break down is strategies to help you guys accomplish your mission. Okay. Now for this to really sink in, I need you guys to do a couple of things. First thing I need you to do is take massive accountability. Today's show will not work for you if you do not take accountability. What I mean by that is you have to acknowledge that you are not fulfilling your potential, that you are cutting corners, that you are leaving some meat on the bone in terms of your productivity. You have to accept that there's room for growth in your life. And I know that you guys do believe that, or you wouldn't be listening to the show. But I want you to take massive accountability right now and ask yourself, where am I cutting myself short? Where are people doing better than me? And where are they doing better than me in the goals that I'm working towards? Maybe it's your fitness goals. Maybe it's your business goals. Maybe it's your career goals. Where are those people that are winning in the areas that you want to win in? Where are they doing better than you? Okay, because for myself, there was a point in my life where I thought I was doing pretty good, but I was blind to my shortcomings. I was unaware. A lot of times we live like that. We don't seek after and go after and identify our weaknesses and where we're coming up short, we like to entertain this idea that we're doing fine and we're doing a good job, but we need to just keep doing what we're doing. That mentality is a loser mentality.
It's going to get you nowhere.
It's going to get you nowhere. It's like, I'll use fitness. I like to talk about fitness because it's the easiest thing to apply to every other area of your life.
It's such a big part of your life.
Yeah, it is. It's a huge part. But it's like, I never got down to underneath 10% body fat because I was convinced that I was doing the right things and that it just wouldn't happen for me. But the reality was, is that I wasn't doing the right things. The problem was that I failed to acknowledge my weaknesses, which is that I was cutting corners. I wasn't being as thorough as I could have been with my diet, my nutrition, and my game plan to get underneath 10%. You know, that it kind of comes back to the arrogance topic that you and I have discussed before.
Mm-hmm. It definitely does.
So I'm not really a big fan of the word humility, because humility tends to mean like that you're going to make yourself small, right? Like you're going to not make yourself big. And I think we need to make ourselves big. However, we do need to be students and we do need to be coachable. And we definitely need to not be arrogant. So today's show, like I said, guys, come in and ask yourself, where are you leaving some meat on the bone? Where are you cutting corners? Where are you leaving some of your potential? And where can you be doing a better job, honestly? Because if we can have that answer, we can help you accomplish your mission even faster today. So with that being said, we're going to dive right in. Sharice, I want to get what happened in your world last week?
Oh man, last week was excellent. It was full of work. We made a trip up to Jacksonville to attend the A-List event held by one of our mentors. And that was just an incredible event. We got to meet so many people. It was beautifully done.
Yeah.
So glad we got to attend that. We brought our dog with us and he got to hang out.
Yeah, we took Kiba. We took Kiba up to Jacksonville, a five hour drive in a Lamborghini. That was fun.
Yeah, he had a good time. He had a really good time.
He did good.
He did great. My week has been filled with putting out fires, getting work done, and managing the time that I did have. Because, you know, we lost 12, 15 hours between traveling and the event. So just playing catch up with everything this week.
Yeah. So your mission last week was basically to manage work that you're doing in Conquer Academy, your business as a dog trainer, manage the home life tasks that you have, and also to do this networking event up in Jacksonville. And my mission last week, basically I did a couple of speaking engagements, I think two or three, half a dozen coaching calls, if not more, and then three networking events. So it was a big push for me last week in terms of going to events and speaking. And that was my mission. I basically stacked on a bunch of commitments last week. And if you guys can relate to this, you're going to have weeks in your life where there is just so many commitments. Okay. And that's really what this show today is about. It's about biting off more than you can chew and then fucking chewing it. Okay. Because a lot of times in life, what ends up happening is we take on a bunch of work. We take on a bunch of commitments, a bunch of opportunities. And then as we're starting to work our way through them and accomplish them, we get to a breaking point where we want to settle and we say, that's good enough. And it's that good enough mentality that compounds across time and keeps us from actually achieving our mission.
Yeah, I can see that.
Like when we talk about fitness and nutrition, if you feel deep down inside like you're working so hard in the gym and you're being so dialed in with your nutrition, and maybe it's the first time in your life where you've actually started tracking your calories, your macros, and you've been disciplined. And maybe in the past, you haven't even really done it for more than a week. And you're going on your second week of following this structure and this routine. And you're going to get to a point where you're feeling sore, you're feeling tired, and you're already beyond and past the previous level that you'd already performed at. So you're doing more work, training harder, and you start to tell yourself that you're doing too much. And at some point on that second week, you say, you know what? I'm going to let up on my disciplines. I'm going to let up on the diet. I'm going to let up on the training because I've done good enough. And I'm going to go ahead and eat this cake, or I'm going to go ahead and eat this cheat meal, or have this cheat day.
You know, one of my favorite quotes from you is, you cut enough corners and you start going in circles.
That one is so good.
It's so good. It's so good. And it's exactly what you're talking about. You know, you start cutting corners and then instead of making progress, you end right back where you started.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I remember the post that I said, the word for word was, if you keep cutting corners, all you're really doing is going in circles. And I like to say that to myself all the time too. Those are really like quotes for me, you know? But it's 100% right, because imagine how far along would you fucking be if you did not cut those corners. The corners that you start to cut, you don't really cut them when you aren't meeting your expectations. You cut them when you think you are meeting your expectations. For instance, if you think you've done a really good job with your diet, and like I said, you did it for 1 week and then you go on that second week, you typically hear the status quo say that you should have a cheat meal a week or whatever, or a cheat day. That was a common thing for a long time. Mm-hmm. What do you do on your cheat day? What do you have on your cheat day? Yeah, a whole fucking day for your cheat meal? What the hell is that?
It's excessive.
If you did great all week for 6 days and then the seventh day you just went back to doing whatever the hell your impulses told you to do, you're going to do basically 2 to 3 weeks worth of damage. Mm-hmm. You know?
Absolutely right.
So everybody, take inventory in your business, in your fitness, in your family, in your career. Take inventory and ask yourself, where are you cutting it short? Where are you cutting a corner? Where are you not accomplishing your mission that you set out to? Because for me personally, this last week, I exceeded my normal expectations for myself with events and speaking and stuff like that, right? Mm-hmm. My standard throughout the week is I do maybe one social event a week or something like that, maybe two. But I'm not conditioned to do multiple speaking events, multiple different networking events. And not only that, but maintain that tempo and my normal training and routine and my business standards.
And your sleep schedule too.
Yeah, my sleep schedule as well. Yeah, I get up at 3, you know, by choice. And we'd finish the events at like midnight, either midnight to 1 or something, or 2. It was like an hour of sleep or something like that, 2 hours of sleep. So in those moments where you start really stacking on life, you're going to start feeling either overwhelmed or like you should cool it and give up on the mission that you set out. You know, Sharice, can you relate to that at all?
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe last week even. Did you have any moments last week where you felt like you were just doing a lot?
Oh, yeah. Between running and running the businesses and taking care of the house and making sure that I have time to take care of myself on top of everything else. Because, you know, self-care is very important. And self-care isn't just bubble baths and chocolates. It's hard stuff. It's fitness. It's making sure your diet is on point. It's making sure your mentality and your mindset is where it needs to be. It's edifying yourself. Finding time to do all of those things and balance all of those things in a way that you can be successful is really challenging.
Yeah. Let's talk about this real quick, because I think a key to accomplishing your mission in life is self-care. Mm-hmm. I think that if you have a task for the week or several commitments for the week, letting your self-care go is cutting a corner in its own right.
Oh, absolutely.
So if you want to be the best version of you, you can't cut a corner when it comes to your self-care. So what does self-care mean to you?
Self-care to me means that I am doing the things that are necessary for my physical, mental, and emotional well-being.
Like what?
So for physical, I'm working out, I'm eating, I'm staying on plan, I'm getting outside, I'm getting sunshine, I'm getting fresh air.
Okay.
You know, I'm doing all those things. You know, mentally, I'm reading, I'm meditating, I'm taking care of my thought patterns and fixing my thought patterns, you know, emotionally. I have bipolar disorder, and that's something that I'm dealing with right now. And, you know, making sure I'm seeing my doctors and staying on top of my care that's prescribed so that I can be my best self at all times.
What's something that's unique to you that you do for self-care daily?
I have little dance parties. I do this when Jeremiah goes to practice. I will get my speaker out, turn my music on really loud, and I have a dance party with my dog. Kiba is completely unimpressed and looks at me like, why are you doing this? You look ridiculous. But you know what? Having that little bit of fun, that little bit of silliness in my day opens me up to accept all of the positivity and all of the good and all of the fun that's coming to me. You know, it's a way for me to care for myself as well as open myself up to that energy.
Yeah. It's funny that we have to like make time for self-care. Isn't that kind of crazy? Like, yeah, we have it to is. Make time. It's a weird thing to say out loud.
Well, we're programmed like that. Society is programmed like that. It's not about you. It's about being a cog in the machine.
Yeah.
You know, everything you do is for the next guy up. It's not about you. Yeah. You're just a tool.
A lemming, yeah, like one of these worker bees. You're a worker bee.
Yeah.
Go do work. You're a doer. Go do the things. Go do.
And we lose our sense of identity when we get caught up in that mindset.
Yeah. A self-care activity for Jeremiah Sullivan. What do you think is a self-care activity for Jeremiah?
Running.
Okay. Yeah.
Running, MMA.
But I do, what's something I do every day? What would you say you see? Something that you see me do every single day that looks like it's important to me. It could be any little thing that you see.
Your journaling and your morning routine.
Okay. Yeah, I would say that's true. So if you guys don't know, I journal every single day. I have for every single day for about 6 years, maybe even more, I think at this point. I'm kind of losing track. There was one day that I missed, but it has been years, literally years since that day. So I don't miss on my journaling. I had a schedule change the one day that I didn't do the entry, and I told myself I was going to change the time that I did it, and had an oversight, and I never did that again. Yeah, journaling for me is a way for me to do self-care. Here's one that people don't realize. People see my journaling because I put it on social media now. I didn't put it on social media for a long time, but I started doing it because it's like useful for me and I want to improve others. So I'm like, hey, here you go. I do this every single day. But one other thing that I do is, yeah, the morning routine is very important to me for personal growth and self-work and self-love or whatever, working on myself.
Mm-hmm.
But my wake-up time, that's my current thing that I do for self-care.
Okay.
This is a really interesting, I think this will be really valuable for everybody. I truly believe in my core that less sleep with self-care time is more, I feel better with less sleep and my self-care time than I do with more sleep and no self-care time. So if I have to choose between 3 hours of sleep and 4 hours of sleep, and the trade-off is if I do 4 hours of sleep, I have to not do my journaling, my reading, my reflection. If I have to forego those activities, but I gain an extra hour of sleep, I feel worse in the day.
Mm-hmm.
So if I have to personally choose between sleep or self-care, sleep is not self-care for me. My self-care is waking up being at the time that I say I'm going to wake up. And maybe it is, maybe I do get the full hour of self-care time, journaling, reading, reflecting, or maybe it's just 15 minutes or 20 minutes. I've had plenty of days like that. But on the days where I chose to sleep over the self-care routine, I performed worse in the day. I had more anxiety, more nervousness, lack of clarity. I was reactive, frustrated, emotional. And I learned that when I was in special operations. I would prioritize my self-care time no matter what the fuck was going on. We had to go do a raid. Jeremiah's still going to get up early and he's going to go do his self-care. You're going to go do a training mission. I'm going to get up early. I'm going to go fucking do my self-care. Hey, we got a last minute op that came that showed up. By the way, you have to brief this mission and you're not going to sleep at all, bro. You could sleep an hour. Maybe you're going to sleep an hour before this next mission, bro. But if you do your self-care routine, you're only going to sleep for 20 minutes, 30 minutes. I would do that. I would trade the sleep for self-care. And I learned that the hard way by not doing it.
And that requires a huge amount of commitment to yourself.
But it feels so fucking good.
Oh, doesn't it though?
You might feel a little bit of brain fog and confusion in the morning and stuff, like as you get rolling when you're lacking that sleep. But once you get yourself firing on all cylinders, you do that light workout, the sleep, you transcend the sleepiness. You know, it's not sustainable. Like you can't go on forever like that, or at least I haven't been able to. But my point is like I can go for a really long time trading my sleep for self-care and sacrificing it. Because it strengthens my spirit, and my spirit is stronger than my body. So my spirit pulls me through those hard times to help me accomplish the mission, you know? I don't know. What are your thoughts on that?
I think that without your self-care, you turn into Jeremiah the Rage Monster.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm not saying that in a mean way at all. I'm just, you're unregulated when you don't do that for yourself.
Yeah. I'm uncontrolled. I'm reactive.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm constantly in a battle with myself too.
And then you're disappointed with yourself because you didn't follow through with what you know that you needed to do. So there's an aspect of guilt, I think, in it as well.
Yeah. So basically what she's saying is that if I don't do the self-care routine, which she has seen for the last 16 years, she's seen plenty of days where I've not done certain things on it. And that will 100% put me in a reactive, grumpy, and agitated state the rest of the day. And while I'm going through that agitated state, I'm self-aware enough to know that I shouldn't be behaving that way. So now I'm beating myself up for being grouchy, pissed off, and miserable. Mm-hmm. And that's not fair to anybody. You know, that's not fair to myself, and it's not fair to anybody that's around me. So I think bringing this all together, the key to accomplishing your mission in life is that you have to, and when I say your mission in life, I mean the goals and tasks that you have for the entire week, your commitments. One of the keys to accomplishing all of your commitments in business, in fitness, in your family, and in every aspect is that you maintain your self-care at all costs. You maintain your self-care routine at all fucking costs. This is my personal opinion. Like, you guys don't have to listen to me, but I'm just telling you through my experience, I'm 100 times the leader when I invest in myself in the morning, when I do this self-care routine, and I'm more likely to actually see everything else through in my life when I do that as well.
That's big.
Because those commitments are patterns of decision, right? So when you make a decision about something, you're not just saying yes to that one decision. You're saying yes as a habit. You're saying, yes, I'm going to be disciplined with my self-care. But what you're really saying is I'm going to be disciplined with fucking everything. And that, so it carries over, that in, it ties into that saying, how you do one thing is how you do everything. Mm-hmm. So if you make a decision to say yes to your self-care, you're going to make the decision to eat the meal that you're supposed to eat, do the training you're supposed to do the speaking engagement you're supposed to do. You're not going to falter, and you're going to follow through. Mm-hmm. Little example of how that applied to my life last week, and I'm going to kick it back over to you for some questions. So last week, like I said, multiple back-to-back speaking things, multiple networking events, all of that basically compounded, and I was going to bed at like 11 o'clock, waking up at 3 o'clock in the morning, somewhere in there. So I was getting like 4 hours or less a night every single day last week. That was going on through, you know, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. So what ended up happening is all of the work that I had been doing compounded into Friday night. And I was at a networking event. We did a 7 a.m. workout. I think I got there at like 5 or 6 o'clock in the morning, and I started my workout. So I got one in before everybody showed up. And then I worked out with everybody so I could socialize and lift. Anyways, and then I went to the networking event, learned all day. And the event closed out at about 4 o'clock. And the VIP dinner was at 7. So I had this window of like 2 to 3 hours, right? And this is the very back end of my week, right? The last event of the week. And I'm like burnt.
Fried.
I'm learning, I'm studying, I'm socializing, I'm freaking, my routine's all off. I'm not eating the same exact meals that I normally eat. Everything is thrown off. And I had bought the VIP ticket. So I had the VIP ticket included a dinner at 7 o'clock on a yacht. So here I was, smoked mentally, physically, emotionally, and in this lull between 5 p.m., 4 p.m., and 7, I had to decide what to do with my time. So I'm like, well, what can I do? I said, I need to get caught up on some business tasks. Let me knock that out. I said, also, I'm pretty fucking tired, man. Maybe I can catch a nap. I said, all right, I'm going to earmark that. Maybe I will get a nap in before the event. And then I said, well, where am I going to park in the meantime before the dinner? So I was like, you know what? Let me just drive over to the gym, and the same gym that we worked out this morning. When I get there, I'll either sleep in the parking lot for an hour or two or whatever, or I'll go get a lift in and get my blood moving. But I'm going to go decompress over there. So I get the business task done. I get over to the gym. I start sitting in my car, and I kick the car seat back. I get all the business tasks done. I take my shoes off, and I'm like, oh my God, this is so nice. You know, like, you imagine, you know, you come home from a long day of work. It's like doing construction all day, right? You're like, or hard labor, and you take off those shoes and you're like, oh.
Yeah, it's like being in the army and you come home after a day of being out in the field.
Yeah.
After you've been in the field for a week and you take those boots off for like the first time.
Yeah.
And it's like, whoosh.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. That's how my feet felt. And I turned the AC up. And so I'm just like getting comfy, right? And I'm all caught up on my task. And now I got some time to kill. So now I'm at a crossroads. I said, okay, you can either fucking take that nap, or the gym's right there. You can go get your blood moving and try to get to a higher vibration and get another lift in and maybe make some more calls and really just get further ahead. And as I was laying there sinking into the Lamborghini seat, I was like getting really comfortable. And my thought that came over me was, what would I think if I saw me? What would I think if I didn't know me, or if I knew me and I walked by the car and I saw me laying in the seat? Would I respect me is that somebody that I would follow? Is that a leader that I would follow? Would I have judgments about Jeremiah Sullivan sleeping in his car outside the gym at 5 o'clock? And a big part of me said, it's not a big deal. And I don't really think it would have been a big deal. In fact, I encourage power naps from time to time if you need to do it.
Yeah.
But my conscience in that moment told me that I wasn't behaving like the leader I wanted to be and like I would follow. And that the nap was really unnecessary.
Mm.
And that I was about to cut a fucking corner. And so what I did is as I got nice and fucking comfortable, I was observing my situation from my mental witness. I was observing me from an out-of-body me. And I told myself that that wasn't the leader that I would follow. So I put my fucking shoes on. I went into the gym and I got a fucking lift in. And when I did that, I made some more business calls. I FaceTimed you. Me and you had a chat in the gym.
Yeah, that was nice.
And I got the blood circulating. The moral of the story from all of that is that in that moment where I was thinking about cooling off, taking the nap, I also started thinking about just going home and not fucking doing the VIP dinner. Do I really need to go to the VIP dinner? I already talked to all those guys. I got their contact information. I've been on the boat before. I don't need to go do all that. And I was like, I could just drive home. I could be home at an early tonight. I won't get home at midnight tonight. I can get 8-9 hours of sleep if I get home early enough. But in that moment of weakness is where I decided to show strength. And so what ended up happening is I said no to the nap, which made me say yes to the VIP dinner, which made me say yes to the workout, which compounded and allowed me and you to get some FaceTime and brighten up your day.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had an elevated state when I went to the yacht. And instead of being tired and fatigued, I was actually elevated and happy and laughing when I got there.
That's beautiful. And, you know, something you said, you know, about strength and weakness, the only time you really can be strong is when you're faced with weakness.
Yeah.
You know, if it's easy, there's no strength involved.
Yeah. As well said. And the event ended up being a blast. I got back to the house late, got up, fucking did my morning check-in with my journal, my personal growth window. And then I went back to sleep, took another nap to get caught back up because I don't have anything stacked on today. Moral of the story is that this mindset of following through, it has to be cultivated. It has to be developed. You have to eradicate this idea of cutting corners from our lives, you know, because that's really what's holding us back. We can never believe that good is ever enough. Good is never enough.
Good is a failure.
Good is a failure. I had already surpassed my previous expectations, right? I already did the speaking. I already did the social events. I already went way beyond what I had normally done before. And in that moment, it's not time to cool off and get complacent. It's time to push it further and follow through until you complete the task. So, Sharice, mm-hmm. Any insights on that? What are your thoughts?
You know, like we said, good is a failure. You know, it's a big part of why I've changed my language when people ask me, you know, how are you doing? You know, I used to say, oh, I'm good. I'm doing well. No, I'm doing excellent. I'm doing fantastic, you know, because that is the energy that I want to put out. And when I say that, it reinforces it. And then I feel like that.
Well, you're creating your reality.
Exactly.
Guys, listen to this. Your life moves in the direction of your words. So in other words, what you speak, life becomes. Think about this. Like when you start talking about a career move or a business that you want to start, whenever you start speaking about something that's important to you, your life starts getting nudged in that direction.
Who was it that said your word is your wand? I can't remember the name of the author.
I say your word is your weapon.
Yeah, you say your word is your weapon.
Genevieve Brand, I think, said, no, it wasn't Genevieve Brand. It was Florence Shin.
Florence Shin, that's right. That's right.
Yeah.
Florence Shin, your word is your wand.
Yeah, exactly.
And, you know, and your wand is what creates your reality.
Yeah, so you speak something from your imagination. You think of something, you imagine it. You imagine yourself good or you imagine yourself excellent. And then that image creates a behavior that you want to emulate and you become that image. Before you buy the house that you want, what do? You speak about it. Oh, I want to buy a house, man. What do you think of this house? What do you think of this house? Check this out. Hey, I think I'm going to freaking get a six pack. What do you think of this workout program? What do you think of that? You speak about everything that you want in life and your life moves in that direction that you speak of. So you got to be careful with your words because your word is your wand.
Mm-hmm.
Sharice, when it comes to cutting corners last week, where could you have cut corners that you didn't?
It would have been very easy for me to cut corners on my workouts. I'm dealing with some issues with my shins right now. And in the past, that would have just took the wind out of my sails. I would have felt really bad about myself. I probably would have cried like a little punk. Not that crying makes you a punk, but for me, I'm super sensitive. And yes, I am a punk. but I could have very easily cut corners on my workouts and said, oh, well, I can't run, so I'm just going to skip this workout and do something else. But instead, I did a test run, tested out how my legs felt, wasn't happy with how they were feeling. So I made an adjustment and I did my intervals on a bike. It was a lot harder to do them on a bike because it's a lot harder for me to get my heart rate up on the bike, but I knocked it out. I got it done. And I made sure that I checked that box for myself.
How did it make you feel?
Accomplished.
Yeah.
It made me feel accomplished and made me feel like, you know, I have the power to control even the things that I cannot truly control.
We talked about how to cultivate the mindset to follow through, right? That's what we just basically laid out. And some strategies to constantly follow through is to follow through on all your normal standard commitments, to follow through on your standards, never waver on your standards, and to focus on self-care daily. Mm-hmm. Those are some keys.
Standards are standards for a reason. And if you're not living up to your standards, then they're not your standards.
Yeah. Let's hone in a little bit on the person that's having a moment of weakness. Maybe for me, I'm thinking of a time in my life when I wanted to give up, let's say, drinking. And it was Friday night. Everybody was going out and partying. And I was like, I had made the commitment that I wasn't going to cave in and go out and socialize and drink. I was going to do something else. And I made that commitment on, say, Monday or Tuesday. And then the weekend would show up and I'd be like bored because I was off work. I was at the house and everybody was getting all going and they were going to go do something. They were going to go socialize and have some beers. And I caught myself sitting there being like, man, I kind of started caving in and justifying, you know what? Nah, screw it. Let's do it next week. Let's start not drinking next week. Let's go ahead and just go to this thing. And I started looking for a way to cut a corner. What do you say to somebody? How does somebody get themselves to follow through during their moments of weakness?
For me, it's asking myself how much I love myself. Do I love myself enough to resist this feeling of procrastination, to resist the desire to cut the corner, to go against the grain of what our natural inclination is, to follow the path of least resistance and to challenge that? You know, that's what I would say to myself in that moment.
I really liked that. During moments of weakness, decide how much you love yourself, or basically decide to take the path where you love yourself, the path that leads you to loving yourself. I don't know, like what I'm picturing right now is if I'm in that moment of weakness between following through on my commitment, not drinking, or maybe you guys are struggling with food. Maybe that's the thing. But you're in that moment of weakness and you're at that crossroads. Should I eat the cake? Should I not? Should I have the drink? Should I not? And I don't know what area of life is your top focus right now, but the commitment that you have when you're deciding whether to break, be impulsive, get that instant gratification, or stay on the path, the question we have to ask ourselves is, which one is going to make me love myself more? Why would I not take the path that makes me love myself more? Why would I not choose that option? Do I feel like I don't deserve that feeling? Fuck, I can relate to that in a lot of ways.
Oh, me too. Me too.
That mentality has actually helped me with my like night eating too. When I'm considering eating more snacks at night than I've committed to, you know, like breaking the promise that I made to myself. Don't eat any more snacks after your last snack of the night, Jeremiah. You can have one snack after dinner, but don't fucking break that past that. And when I'm in that crossroads of grabbing the extra snack, one of the conversations I'll have in my head, bro, you don't want to wake up feeling guilty.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you want to wake up feeling confident. You want to wake up feeling good.
Mm-hmm.
You want to wake up feeling proud of yourself. So yeah, you can have the snack if you want, but how do you want to wake up? And not only that, but the snack's going to be there in the morning.
Yep. I mean, I go through a similar thing because, you know, after I eat, I get a little hungry and kind of troll the kitchen and I'll open cupboards and see what we got in there and I'll check and see how much room I have left in my macros and, oh, well, I got a little room for something to nosh on. And I'll open a cupboard and I'll say, is this congruent with how I want to live my life today?
Yeah.
Yeah. Is this congruent with how I want to feel in the morning?
Yeah.
And then from that decision, I close the cabinet and I walk away.
That's good. When it comes to leadership, how important do you think it is for the person to take a path? Do you think people, I guess what I'm trying to say is, do you think people can sense when you don't take the path that's best for you?
Yes, I think it's absolutely evident, especially as a leader. So if you're not living up to your own expectations, people can see that. And people can see that you're not being the leader that you say that you are if you can't hold your own commitments.
That's so fucking true. And you know what's crazy is that what's also crazy is that we live in a world where people will literally slip. Leaders will slip and their teams won't say a fucking word. We have a culture like that in the world.
Do you think that's fear of speaking up or do you think that's apathy?
I think it's learned behavior, but it's fear driven. So I think people learn to not challenge authority.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're a leader and you're cutting corners, it's normal for a person that's not of equal rank to you or position to hold their tongue and not say anything and follow what you tell them to do. It's a whole cultural thing. It starts with our parents. There's some...
Because I said so.
Exactly. Like, do this. Why? Because I said so. And you're supposed to follow the rules. Like, we all heard that shit as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we get in a position where our boss or the leader above us tells us to do something and we don't actually respect anything that about him or her, we end up listening and we don't speak up because we're taught not to speak up.
Mm-hmm.
So now you have this culture of resentment between leader and follower. And that's just a culture that's just not going to be, it's going to deteriorate. It's going to get destroyed and it's not going to last.
Yep. The whole culture of the company, the whole culture of the unit, the whole culture of the team suffers as a result of that.
Yeah. And people will watch you as if your team is watching you, like I'm talking to you guys as the leader. Okay. So your team is going to watch your behavior and they're going to root for you. If you're struggling with something in your life, they're going to hope that you get through it. And especially if you're likable, your team will sit there and they'll like give you a chance. He has a good intent. He's really trying. And so your team will support you a lot. So they can like you and they can support you. But when you keep breaking promises to them, to yourself, you take paths, you say that you're going to do one thing and then you do another, and you do that over and over and over again, all people have a breaking point. And the more times that you do not follow through on your commitments and not follow through on what you say you're going to do, your team is distancing themselves from you. And this includes friends, family members, everybody. Everybody in your life, they're going to slowly distance themselves from you because they don't trust you, because you don't trust you.
Mm-hmm.
And what humans are doing and teams do is they follow the person that they trust, that they're loyal to you because they're loyal to you, right? That's a separate thing. You don't have to have trust for them to be super, super loyal. They can be loyal out the gate. And a lot of people will be loyal out the gate. But once you destroy their trust, then the loyalty breaks.
The loyalty breaks, you backslide, and you have to work from scratch to rebuild it. And not only is that difficult, it's even more difficult because they're going to always have in the back of their mind, well, this person, I got to watch myself. I got to watch them because their integrity is less than impeccable.
Yep. People are constantly looking at other people and analyzing whether or not they should listen to them. Should I, like if a brand new speaker comes out, you're at a conference and a new speaker comes out and he wants to talk to you about success. What's your first thought? Why the hell should I listen to this guy?
Who's this dude?
Yeah. Why should I believe anything you're saying? Yeah. So people are waiting for you to prove to them that you're worth listening to. Moral of the story, guys, as we're wrapping this up, moral of the story and the biggest lesson that I want to impress upon you guys through this episode, your word really is your weapon. Following through on what you say you're going to do is one of the most powerful things that you can do to lead yourself and lead others. Listening to yourself is the key to follow through. If you just taught yourself to listen to your commands every step of the way, most of your goals will happen 10 times faster. And not only that, but you'll preserve relationships and teams along the way. If you're a person that you can't figure out why you keep finding yourself alone, for some reason, every time you start building relationships, you look around, all of a sudden you're by yourself. Chances are it's because you've broken your promises. You've not followed your word. and people have slowly started to distance themselves from you, and they no longer want you to lead them. So your word is your weapon. Use it wisely.
That's beautiful.
What do you got, Sharice, before we close up?
This week, I want everybody to focus on following through on their word. No matter how big, no matter how small, if you make a commitment to yourself, follow that shit through to the end. Not just halfway, not just part of the way, not just, oh, well, this is good enough. I kind of did it. Follow it through to the end. See your commitments through. And you will see things change. You will see the way people treat you change. You will see the way you treat yourself change. You will see your results change.
Following through on the small things leads to following through on the big things. That's the key to accomplishing your mission. Until next time, be the leader.